Patriots are people who passionately love their country and are willing to support and defend it at all costs with their very own lives. The word a patriot awakens memories of great heroes from America's military history. Give me liberty or give me death, Patrick Henry said. Nathan Hale made the statement saying, "The only regret that I have is by only having one life to give for my country." The same devotion is given to the first century Christians. Peter and John and the apostles were persecuted for preaching Jesus, but however, they never shied away of defending the gospel at all costs. Paul was persecuted for preaching Jesus Christ, and yet he never quit defending the gospel, whatever cost it may be. These men that we see in the first century, they never shied away. They never stopped defending the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's Christians must have the mentality of the first century Christians, should we not? Again, the word patriot, one who passionately loves their country and will defend it at all costs, by any means, even if it has to take away our very own lives. As citizens, we long for heaven, do we not? We long for the joy of our heavenly home, but yet we also acknowledge our status as pilgrims in this world, do we not? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. One day in the future, Jesus will return to withdraw his troops. We are given an outpost here on this world to defend the gospel, to preach the gospel, and to save lost souls with the gospel. Amen? Until Jesus returns, we are left here on this outpost. And we have a job as Christians, do we not? Not only just a job, but a life, a different life, by living the gospel when we preach the gospel. People today tend to believe that this is only just a Sunday picnic in the Church of Jesus Christ. But brethren, need I remind you that this is not a picnic in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times, but rather it is a war for the souls of men. When we turn our attention to the book of Jude, his letter serves as a great field manual for spiritual engagement in the warfare that we go against in our day-to-day lives as Christians. Jude reminds us that our adversary is real. Jude reminds us that our adversary is determined to destroy the church at all costs. But however, we do believe from Jesus Christ's own statement that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against his church. His church will never be destroyed. However, when we look at congregations, we do see Satan attacking the congregations, beginning to bring in liberalism, beginning to bring in false doctrine and false teaching to destroy and to divide the church. But Paul says that we, as Christians, must stand fast in that sound doctrine. He says that we ourselves need to get away from those who teach different than the doctrine that we have received. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. He says, "Look out among you, those who bring divisions and onslaught, and move yourselves away from them that teach the things contrary to the doctrine." Again, Romans 16, verse 17. It tells us how to respond to the world's hostility and aggression. As a soldier of Christ, there is no room, absolutely no room for pacifism, for eternity is at stake. there's no room for pacifism. And sadly, that is one excuse that's beginning to creep in many congregations of the Lord's church. Many congregations. There's no room for pacifism as a Christian, because eternity, eternal life, is at stake. And so when we turn our attention to the book of Jude, as mentioned just a moment ago, it serves as a great field manual for spiritual engagement in this warfare, because we are in a life and death struggle for the souls of men. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. War the good warfare, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And be a good Christian soldier, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. So if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Jude. And honestly, I wish that we could spend our entire time just going through each and every verse of this letter. But however, we'll only be focusing on just the first three verses, because they have significant impact on the Christian life, especially when we are called to be God's faithful patriots. That's what I've entitled this lesson, is that God's faithful patriots. And point number one, as God's faithful patriots, we are called to be spiritual sentries. S-E-N-T-R-I-E-S, spiritual sentries. And when you look up what a sentry, what his job is, it is a military personnel who has been given an outpost to be on guard. To be on guard and to be willing to let any unauthorized individual inside the gates. He must be willing, the definition describes, willing to take up that job and not let any unauthorized individuals inside the gates. That's what a sentry does. He is a guard. He is an onlooker for the people who are not authorized to be inside the base. And Jude brings that attention to us. When we look at verse 1 and 2, he says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. The book of Jude serves two main purposes. Number one, it serves as a heavenly call to arms. A heavenly call to arms. And number two, it serves as a strategy for spiritual victory. A strategy for spiritual victory. Jude's readers depended on the success by taking heed to the wake-up call. The warning that false teachers have infiltrated their base. And Jude writes to his people saying that you are the called, the beloved. And you go on to read his book, he then begins to inform them what's going on and what's about to happen, or what was taking place at the very moment. You go on to verse 3, which we will talk about here in just a few moments, but he goes on to indicate to them saying that I have needed to write to you about our common salvation. However, something has forced me to bring up something that's more needful for you to hear. And again, we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But so we see that he is writing to his people, indicating that false teachers have infiltrated, have overtaken their base. And he brings it to their attention. He's saying that as God's patriots, as his soldiers, you are called to be spiritual sentries. You're supposed to be onlooking. You're supposed to be on the post. What's going on? What's happened? You're not doing your job. But however, Jude's main purpose of writing this letter is an encouragement. It is an encouragement to let them know that, and to warn them about the false teachers and the false doctrines that begin to creep inside. And notice that it was done very, very slowly. But he warns them, and he gives them a purpose to call to arms, to be called to arms, a heavenly call to arms, and to have a spiritual strategy for a spiritual victory. When trouble arises, it is not enough for us to sit idly and to twiddle our thumbs, trying to convince and persuade ourselves that everything will be all right when there's a significant problem in the church. Many times we live in a society thinking that it will resolve itself, so let's just put it aside, let's brush it under the rug. But folks, when you think about it, when a disease has crept in, let's use this illustration for an example. If you have a severe, may I add with emphasis, a severe case of sickness, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit, lay in your bed idly, thinking and hoping that it's going to go away? No. If you're smart enough, you'll go to the doctor. If you're wise enough, you'll go to the hospital. You'll do something about it. It requires action. And that's what Jude encourages his readers to do. He says, don't sit idly. Don't sit by twiddling your thumbs, letting these false teachers come in. He says, what you need to do, it requires action. A disease has crept in and posed a severe threat on the church. What are you doing? Are you going to confront those individuals? Encourage them to come to repentance? Knowing that the things that they're teaching are false? The things that they're teaching are incorrect? What are you going to do? Are you going to do your job as a spiritual sentry? What are we going to do? With many illnesses, there is a brief but precious window of opportunity to treat the problem, and to stop its progress. When you turn over to 2 John, verse 9, John talks about having no fellowship with those who go beyond that which is written, or to go beyond the doctrine of Christ. You know where we get the word progress from? It's from that word right there. Who progress, going over, to go beyond. And John says, have no fellowship with them who teach a different doctrine, who go beyond the doctrine of Christ. They're going beyond what is written, adding things, subtracting things, even twisting things. And sadly, it is happening in the Lord's church today, is it not? Is it not? Amen. It was time for them to rally the troops. If Jude's readers would rally the troops, it was not too late to stem the tide of the injurious effects of these false teachers. And folks, the more we sit by and allow these things to happen, the worse it's going to get. Are we just going to brush the things under the rug? Are we going to do our jobs as Christians to confront these individuals? There's a reason why we warn our brothers and sisters who have maybe changed locations to here in Jacksonville, Florida. There's a reason why we warn them about certain congregations around the area. Why? Because they are teaching things that are false. And these are congregations whom we have tried desperately to get in contact with and to encourage them to repentance, but what happens? They refuse it. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but heaping up to themselves teachers after their own lusts, because they want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. Notice that. They want to hear what their itching ears want to hear, because they don't want to hear what they need to hear. Folks, there are some things, we have to be honest with ourselves, there are some things that we read in the scriptures that may sound hard for us, even as individually or as a congregation as a whole, they'll be hard for us to apply, but however, there are things that we cannot compromise. They are things that we cannot compromise, and doctrinal matters are one of them. We cannot compromise doctrinal matters. You go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, a great Old Testament example. When we get to verse 21, Elijah tells the prophets of Baal, saying, "How long will you go limping between both sides?" That word limping means skipping over. When you apply that to us in our society, we ask, how long will you go skipping over the truth? How long will you go corrupting the truth? Things are black and white when we look at God's word, is it not? People nowadays try to sugarcoat it, send it into gray areas. But folks, when we look at the biblical text, especially in Jude's letter as a great example, doctrine does matter. Does it not? Here in a few moments, we'll be examining just a few scriptures to prove that doctrine does in fact matter. But in addition to alerting them to the present danger, this book serves as a field manual for battling false teachers. A field manual is concise, it is proven, and it is practical. It is proven and practical and concise. And again, as we mentioned earlier, the recipients of this letter in Jude are identified as the called. They're identified as the called. And we turn our attention to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter uses the same word, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, for you have been called out of darkness and into what? His marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You have been called out of darkness and into light. Some versions that you read may use the word sanctified. You've been sanctified. Those who have been called have what? Have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Those who are the beloved are those who have been called out of darkness and into his light. Those who are the beloved are those who have been sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ. So folks, this term applies to the Lord's people in the church. We are the called. Those who have obeyed the gospel, those who have believed in Jesus Christ, who have repented of their sins, who have confessed his name and were baptized into his blood for the remission of their sins. Once we have been baptized, we have put to death the old man, Romans chapter 6. And we have put on the new man, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We are a new creature. We are in the light now, not in the darkness. We've been called out. And folks, we have to remember and adhere to this message. Jude may just be a small letter with only 23 verses. But however, this small, short letter contains so much information that we Christians today need to hear, especially if we are going to be identified as God's faithful patriots. We are spiritual sentries who are on this outpost, and who are on the lookout in the Lord's church. One of the jobs and descriptions for the elders are to take heed to the flock, and to make sure that there are no false teachings, no ravaging wolves among the congregation. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Yeah, that's their job, folks. It's one of the things that they are equipped to do. But however, we can't just push it on the elders. Let them do it all by themselves. We just can't push it on the new preacher that's going to be coming here to Oceanside. You can't just leave it all up to him. Because when Jude wrote this letter, who did he write it to? He wrote it to the called, the beloved, the people of God. Folks, we are to be on a lookout. All of us on the lookout. Which is one reason, as spiritual sentries and as God's faithful patriots, we need to be what? To be equipped to study and show ourselves approved unto God. A workman not needing to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. For all scripture it is God-breathed and inspired. It is written and given to be profitable for instructions, for reproof, for rebuking. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So that the man of God may be fully equipped. Verse 17. Brothers and sisters, have we been taking the time as God's faithful patriots, spending our hours in His Word? Yes, we have jobs, absolutely, but have we dedicated and sacrificed certain amounts of times daily to be in this Word right here? I hope we have. Because in order for us to discern and distinct the difference, what is true and what is false, we need to be in this book right here. In the holy truth and nothing but the holy truth. Amen. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. Folks, let us spend time in this book. Because nowadays, many, many, and many false teachings are going around and they're creeping inside the congregations. Let us be God's faithful patriots by being spiritual sentries. Point number two. God's faithful patriots must heed the patriotic plea. Must heed the patriotic plea. In verse 3, Jude writes, saying, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you about our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." In the heat of battle, the best laid plans may have to be changed at a moment's notice. To fortify the faith of his friends, Jude had intended to write to them about their common salvation. His strategy was praiseworthy, but circumstances forced him to alter his course. Again, as we mentioned earlier, that there was something that he saw, something that he heard, something that he knew about was going on at the church there. And he says, "I had all diligence to write to you about our common salvation, but something was holding me back. Something that I know that I need to address." And folks, we have to do that nowadays. We must take this patriotic plea. And it may be hard for us, although that we may love the individual so much, but when we know that there is something in their lives that they are doing wrong, whether if it's sharing the gospel, whether if it's even correcting a brother or sister in Christ, even though as hard as it is, even though that we may understand that it might hurt their feelings, but we have to address this problem to them. Why? Because it is serious. Doctrine was very, very important to Jude. Why? Because he stated right here, "I gave diligence to write to you. I wanted to write to you about this, but I can't now because of what is going on here." And again, I encourage you with yourself, with your own eyes, to read through the rest of the book of Jude. Read through the rest of it, and you'll see what was going on there. When you read and give diligence and study it thoroughly, you will find out that it is unbelievable what's going on there. Unbelievable. The elders, they were getting greedy with money. And the list goes on. And Jude brings up so many examples from the Old Testament. Remember what happened to these people? Remember what happened to these people? Remember what happened to these people? And folks, as hard as it may be for us, if it's to correct a brother or sister in Christ, although that may hurt their feelings, we have to address it. We need to address it. Whether if it's sharing the gospel, just going out with an individual, again, it's going to involve confrontation, will it not? And it may be hard, but it's something that we need to do and that we are called to do. Remember that word, we are the called. God called us out for a purpose, for a specific purpose. And Jude gives us that great example for that purpose of being God's faithful patriots. Jude goes on knowing that he had learned that his friends were under attack by false teachers. So Jude laid aside his plan and wrote about something more needful. There are times when we must put something good on the back burner and address something more pressing. First, Jude tells them, saying that you need to defend the gospel. They were to contend earnestly for the faith, the text says. The word contend means to fight or struggle for. The situation, again, required action. Something has to be done. And as struggling as it may be, when we think and look back to our military men, guess what they had to contend for during basic training, during combat? They had to contend for some rigorous stuff. But however, this contending that they were doing, this struggling, this fighting that they were doing, was to prepare them. Was to prepare them for a well, thorough service in the future. It was to prepare them for a great service that was to lie ahead for them. Brothers and sisters, when we contend spiritually for the doctrine of Jesus Christ, we are to fight for the doctrine. We are to fight for the gospel, defend it at all costs. When something is brought up, whether if it is by our government, whether if it is something immoral, whether if it is something that they're telling us that we can't preach on, what do we have to do? We have to stand up and be prepared and to give an answer at all costs, to fight for the gospel, to defend the gospel at all costs. Peter says, be ready to give an answer. And again, folks, how are we going to be able to know what answer is right? It all points back to this book right here. I don't know how many times I can raise this Bible up and point back to it, but I'll keep on saying it over and over again if I have to. This right here, 1 Peter 3, verse 18. In order for us to give an answer, we need to know the truth and live the truth. Amen? The need to contend implied that there was opposition to the truth. The church has enemies, and the church will continue to have enemies, even in the next generation. There will be enemies who will not like the truth, who will not like the church, and will do whatever they can to stop it. The time is getting to us. We're going to have to move on here quickly. But when adversaries grow bold enough to launch an offensive attack, Christians must be prepared to give an answer. If a woman was beaten and mugged, and a police officer was right over there in the corner, saw the whole thing, but doesn't decide to help her until what? Until he finishes writing this traffic ticket. The people will be outraged when they hear about that. The officer has been banned, even fired. Why? Because he had to finish writing a traffic ticket while seeing an old lady beaten and mugged. Or if a child is severely injured and the doctor says, okay, well, I'm not going to help you until I finish faxing these files over to the American Medical Association. Well, he'll be fired. Why? Because of negligence, neglecting the child. These principles hold true in the church. The church cannot conduct business as usual when members are under attack and eternity hangs in the balance. Immediate action is required. Immediate exhortation is required. Jude began his counteroffense by writing this letter. He was writing a letter exhorting them. Writing was an important ministry in the first century, and it still is today. We write cards of encouragement, letters of encouragement, even to those who have been lacking in their attendance. Members take up their duty as God's faithful patriots, writing a letter of exhortation, a letter of encouragement to those who have not been attending like they should. When we look at our military men, boy, it brightens their day and it warms their heart when they receive a letter back home. And I'm sure that it brightened the members here when they received a letter from Jude. Again, we're not quite sure if they applied the things that Jude informed them, but we can imagine, Can we not?
He's right. Let's defend the gospel. Let's take up the truth. Let's stand up for the truth and get rid of these false teachers.
Christians are under orders to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage and exhort one another day by day. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, provoking one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly, but exhorting one another daily, as we see the day slowly approaching. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Brethren, as we bring our lesson to a close, the call to contend, it means to put forth great effort that needs to be extended in standing up for the truth. We are to contend earnestly for the faith as the called, as God's faithful patriots. We are to be spiritual sentries, and we are called to heed the patriotic plea. Jude clearly emphasizes that doctrine does matter. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul tells Timothy that thou mightest charge certain men to not teach any doctrine than the one that ye have received. Again, Romans chapter 16, verse 17, mark them that cause division among you, contrary to the doctrine that you have heard, and remove yourselves away from them. There is a trust to keep, brothers and sisters. And yes, some of y'all probably realize that in just a few days we'll be celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day. We bless our troops, our military men and personnel who passionately love their country and are willing to support and defend it with their very own lives. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this in a spiritual sense, we as faithful saints are to be called as God's patriots. We are called to be spiritual sentries, to kick out any unauthorized individuals, and yes, those individuals are false teachers. We are to take up the patriotic plea by contending earnestly for the faith, by adhering to the power of exhortation, encouraging one another daily, again, as the day slowly approaches. And lastly, there is a trust to keep. Faith is like a baton being handed down to one runner to the next. Brothers and sisters, the truth is like that baton, being handed down from this generation to the next generation. And boy, God emphasized that even at the very beginning of time. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 24, God says, teach your children and your children's children about the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, as we, God's faithful patriots, we are to pass on that truth to the next generation, the truth that is found right here in God's word, teaching our children every single day, encouraging them to come to worship service with you every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, and yes, Wednesday night. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves, but encouraging one another. Brothers and sisters, as we close here tonight, there may be one here this morning, has probably realized that they have not been the faithful patriot that God has called them to be, allowing sin to enter his or her life, not taking up the active duty as a soldier of Christ, allowing sin to enter his or her life and straying away from the truth. But I will say that it is time for you, when the invitation is extended, to be able to come forward, to repent and confess of that sin, whatever it may be. The faithful prayer of a righteous man is very powerful, James 5:16. God will forgive you of your sins. We, the church, will forgive you of what you have done. And we will welcome you back with open and loving arms. Maybe one here this morning who has never obeyed the gospel, has not put on the armor of salvation, who has not been fully equipped or have been identified as a patriot or soldier of Christ. Well, again, it all takes by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of your sins, confessing that he is the Son of God, and being baptized to have your sins washed away and remaining faithful to the day that you die. If you need to respond, then won't you come together as we stand and as we sing.